Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. We're in lesson number 58 today in the study about the Messiah. We're taking a number of weeks to develop these lessons and to make sure that you have a thorough understanding of what the Bible teaches concerning this subject. Join us now as Tom discusses the plurality of God and the triunity of God.
Well, welcome back to The Lay Disciple study, and we are dealing with the plurality, the unity, and eventually the triunity and the Godhead. And the reason we're doing that is because one of the obstacles that Jewish people have is that they cannot believe in the triunity of the Godhead, and so they feel that those who are Messianic Jews or Christian Jews or even Gentile Christians could not possibly be worshiping the true God because of our insistence on the Trinity, as the Scriptures reveal. And I have been giving you that evidence as to how we come to know the triunity of the Godhead, that God is one, but He exists in three persons. And So in the unity of the Godhead, which is where we'll be today, we want to focus our attention on what is called the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, in Judaism, and it's contained in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, what we've been doing so far is we have been building here in these, since we have left the writings, we have been resting on what the actual Hebrew language teaches in the Hebrew Scriptures themselves. Now, if we are to base whatever doctrines we believe in as Christians on the Scriptures alone, we have to say that on the one hand, the Hebrew Scriptures affirm God's unity, while at the same time they tend toward the concept of a compound unity, allowing for a plurality in the Godhead. Now, this idea of plurality within the Godhead, as I have told you, has been consistently rejected by Judaism, despite all the evidence that has been presented to them so far. And invariably, the argument always returns when you're talking to either a Jewish rabbi or to a Jewish just person. It returns to Deuteronomy 6:4 as the final evidence of the single nature of God Himself, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." That's in the New American Standard. And Deuteronomy 6:4 has become known as the Shema and has always been Israel's great confession. It is this verse more than any other that the Jewish people will use to affirm the fact that God is one and to contradict the very concept of any possible plurality in the Godhead. But the question we have to ask, is that a valid use of this verse to try to prove non-plurality? We have to point out, first of all, that the very words, "Hear, O Israel, our God," that is, our God, are actually in the plural in the Hebrew language. So actually, Deuteronomy 6:4 in the Hebrew literally reads, "Our gods, hear, O Israel, our gods is one." And so the main argument lies in the word one here, which is the Hebrew word echad, E-C-H-A-D, echad. But if you do a quick glance through the verses in the Hebrew text where this word echad is actually used, it will show that the word echad does not mean an absolute one. The word echad always means a compound one. For example, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 5, the combination of evening and morning, it says, comprise one, that is the word echad, one day. So you have a compound one. One day consisting of evening and morning. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, a man and a woman come together in marriage, and the two, we are told, become one. There's that word ikad again. They become one flesh. But this is not an absolute one. It's a compound one. They are one flesh, but there is a man and a woman in the one. In the book of Ezra, in chapter 2, verse 64, we are told that the whole assembly of Israel was as one. That is the word ekad. Though, of course, we have to realize that the nation of Israel was composed of many different and numerous people. Ezekiel 37:17 provides a really striking example where two sticks are combined to become one, ekad. There's that word. So the use of the word ekad, meaning one, in the Hebrew Scriptures shows that it is a compound unity, not an absolute unity, as the Jewish rabbis try to teach. Now, there is a Hebrew word which does mean an absolute unity, and that is the word yachid, Y-A-C-H-I-D. Now, this word, yachid, is used in numerous places, with the emphasis being on the meaning of only one. Now, if Moses had intended to teach God's absolute oneness in the passages we just read in Genesis and elsewhere in the writings of Moses, as opposed to his compound oneness, it would have been far more appropriate for him to have used the word yachid instead of ikad. And he would have said in Genesis 2:24, he would have said, when a man and a woman come together in marriage and the two shall become one flesh, he wouldn't have used ikad, he would have used yachid, because that's a absolute one, not a compound one. In fact, the rabbi I spoke to you about, who is one of the esteemed rabbis of Israel called Maimonides, he noted the strength of the argument that has been made of yachid and as opposed to ikad. And when Maimonides wrote his 13 Articles of Faith, what he did is he used the word yachid instead of the word ikad because he realized how powerful yachid was over ikad in the use of one instead of plurality. However, in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, Moses did not use the word yachid. He used the word ekad in reference to God. And remember, the word ekad allows for compound oneness. Now, we have now looked at the plurality in the Godhead in other broadcasts. We now look at the unity of the Godhead in the Shema. But now we need to then move to the triunity in the Godhead. And the question we want to answer here is, how many persons are there? Well, so far we've seen from the use of various plural words that there is plurality in the nature of the one true God. We also looked at several passages where the names of God are applied to two quite distinct but defined divine personalities, many times in the same verse. The question that now arises is, how many persons actually exist in the Godhead? Now, a reading of the Hebrew Scripture shows that there are three, and only three distinct personalities that are ever considered divine. They are the Lord, that is, Adonai or Yahweh-Vate, Jehovah, the angel of Jehovah, Yahweh-Vate, and the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to consider each of these three personalities separately. First of all, we're going to look at the Lord, Jehovah, or Yahweh-Vate. Now, there are many places in Scripture where there's a reference to the first of these three divine personalities. The usage of the term the Lord Yahweh-Vate or the Lord Jehovah is so frequent that there is no need for us to go through all the passages. It's such a great number, and a great many of the messianic prophecies that we have already explored individually have discussed this very issue, and they serve as examples of this point. So that brings us to the second personality, or the angel of Jehovah, and the expression of Malak Yahweh-Vate, or Malak Jehovah. So the second divine personality mentioned in the Hebrew Scriptures is the angel of Jehovah. But who is he? Who is this angel of Jehovah? Well, the angel of Jehovah is not to be taken as a title, but following Hebrew grammar, the angel of Jehovah always functions as a proper name. This individual, the angel of Jehovah, is always considered distinct from all other angels, and that this person is a unique personality. It never appears in the plural form. There is only one angel of Jehovah. Nowhere in the Scriptures are there the phrase angels of Jehovah or the angels of God, but rather there are three and only three different expressions which are used. The angel of Jehovah, or Malak Yahweh-Vate, which is always in the singular, or the angel of the God, Malak Ha-Elohim in the Hebrew, always singular with the definite article the. And thirdly, the angels of God, Malakei Elohim, which is plural and is never used with a definite article. Now, the last of these expressions, the angels of God, is used in general terms to refer to ordinary angels. I see that I'm out of time in this broadcast, so if you'll come back, I'll finish up what we can learn about the angel of Jehovah, the second of the three persons in the Godhead. And I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom. Isn't this a great series? You can get copies of this series by calling us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. You can also reach us at our new website. The address is www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for our free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. Now make plans to join us tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.